Hello and welcome. The impact of the coronavirus pandemic is going to be felt for years, but the immediate impact of the second wave in India is especially glaring when it comes to employment. Just as the economy was showing signs of recovering from the pandemic's first wave, a ferocious second wave, for which we were completely unprepared for, has led to India's job market plunging in April after showing some positive trends in January to March 2021. So, over 2 crore jobs were lost in April and May due to the COVID second wave, a study by the Center for Monitoring the Indian Economy says. Meanwhile, 97% of household incomes declined since the beginning of the pandemic last year, says a CMI survey conducted in April. The labor participation rate, or the percentage of working age population which is in the market, has come down to 40% from the pre-pandemic levels of 42.5%. Unemployment in rural areas has spiraled to 14.34% in the week ending May 16th from 7.29% in the week ending May 9th. So that means it has doubled within a week. Similarly, urban unemployment has climbed to 14.71%, 3 percentage points more than a week ago, while the national employment rate soared to 14.45%. The national unemployment rate soared to 14.45% from 8.67%, underlying an acute job crisis amidst the second wave. So these are statistics, they're numbers, they're percentages. It can be lost in a lot of people, it can go above a lot of people's heads. But what does this actually mean for you and for me? What does this mean for families, for their savings? Will those who lost their jobs in the second wave, if they're in their 40s or 50s, will they ever get another job again? What does this mean for those who graduated this year, those who went onto the market this year? What does this mean for your ability to retire on time or pay off your EMIs on your home before you retire? What does this mean for your future plans? Let's try and bring you some human faces behind these statistics. Vikash Sanchi, he became the face of the youth of India who are desperately looking for a job, any job really, to sustain themselves. And Vikash put out a tweet appealing for employment. That's a tweet. It's on your screen right now. And this tweet gained huge traction on social media on this platform this week. And it's even got him some offers, I'm told. So let's go across to Vikash, who joins us now. Vikash, you're 24 years old. So you're one of those who've actually come of age in the middle of this global pandemic. You're from Bhiwani. You have a postgraduate degree. Why did you decide to tweet?
So, hello. Since this lockdown, I have been looking for 1.5 years for a job. I wrote so many emails to many organizations, but still I was not able to get any sort of a work. So it was really tough for me to find out any work. So I was really tired of writing email and waiting for emails. Despite having some research internship with Ashoka, it was not sufficient for recruiters to hire me, since there were no projects going on. So I thought, why should not I put up this thing on the Twitter? So I tweeted on the Twitter, and I requested people to amplify it so I can get some sort of a work. So that was the story behind it.
No, but before you tweeted, it's a job, there's a photo of you while you were working. So you had already decided that you'll even do manual labor. You're ready to work even as a daily wage laborer. And then you tweeted. So you had exhausted all options.
Yeah, since I have already made the point that I was really tired of writing emails and all other things. Prior to this post-graduation, I used to sustain myself doing some sort of a part work or labor work in agriculture field, others land. So that was the scenario, and I do respect every work because that's a dignity of work. So I don't consider it was a law.
Of course.
Because my primary agenda was to sustain myself. So I did not specific demand for, like, I want to get that sort of a job. So that's why I tweeted, I can do labor work.
And Vikash, I want to ask, you had you have 2 degrees. You're also studying to get a master's now. You had a postgraduate degree, I think, in philosophy, if I'm not wrong. And now you're also...
No, that's English literature.
That's your master's.
English literature.
You're pursuing a master's. So did you also choose to study further and further because you couldn't get a job?
Yeah, so this was the lockdown, so I had no other option. So I, so I thought that by doing another MBA, I could do some work to like and support myself. That was the idea behind.
And so, and is the irony of it now that you're over-educated for jobs?
So that's what up to the market. Like, it's, but I would like to make another part also. Like, I had a soft Twitter, but what about the others who don't have a Twitter to tweet about their conditions and express their grievances? So that was the scenario. Even you can see what is happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A huge digital divide. Quickly, I want to ask, I saw another tweet of yours that we're playing up that says that you've gotten what you're calling compassionate responses. What's the update on the job front?
Yeah, since this tweet went viral, so I got good offers also, and I accepted some of them too. That's what. That's why I'm really thankful to the people who reached out to me. But what about others? Like, who did not go for Twitter and no other option to tell what's happening in their life, and they are desperate for the job. So that is one bigger scenario.
Mikash, thank you for your time. Congratulations. It paid off, the risks that you took, and you're still thinking about others, millions of others out there, as you point out, who may not have access to Twitter or to get where you are today. Thank you. Thank you for your time. So will the situation get better as the economy opens up? Let's bring in Rituparna Chakravarti, co-founder and executive vice president of TeamLease. TeamLease Services, of course, needs no introduction, a human resource company offering solutions to over 3,500 employers for their hiring, productivity and scale challenges. And we have Mayank Kumar, co-founder and MD of UpGrad, which is South Asia's largest online higher education company. Mayank, to you first, what is your understanding of the impact of this second wave? Actually, to both of you, what is your understanding of the impact of the second wave on the job market? I read out all those numbers, but Mayank, there are, I hear of certain industries that even that are standing to gain in a pandemic. You hear of e-commerce companies, I'm in the headlines, you know, employment growth of 22%. I mean, look at you, look at UpGrad. You've recently announced that you aim to close March 2022 at $500 million revenue run rate, I read. So congratulations first on that front. But put this into perspective for us. Are there gains in certain sectors, and is it enough to offset losses in more traditional sectors?
I think thanks a lot, Sarah, for having me there for the event. Now, for us, when we look at the various sectors, yes, the construction, manufacturing, tourism, wholesale retail, retail trade, those have taken a hit. But on the other hand, when we see some of the other sectors, we do see medical, e-learning, online education, e-grocery, or even in the technology side, cybersecurity, data privacy, building cloud solutions, etc. There are sectors that have seen increased demand coming in, even during the pandemic period. Now, one of the things that we have noticed in the entire period, Sarah, is that we are seeing deep skilling, people who have been skilled in the right area. There are opportunities available for them. Just in the last quarter, we placed about at an average run rate of about 10,000 learners in that one quarter period. So there are sectors which are emerging, but yes, the impact is much largely felt because real estate, construction, manufacturing, tourism, they are very, very large employers. And I guess Rituparna would have seen the same thing in her sort of work with TeamLease as well.
Okay, so sorry, you were just saying that your graduates have managed to be placed. Is that what I'm hearing? You're comfortable, you're happy with the placements?
Yes, so our graduates are getting placed. And that's largely because a lot of what they got skilled on were deep skills. So these are skills in the area of cybersecurity, data science, machine learning, or digital skills. So those are the areas where we have seen more and more recruiters coming to us looking for skilled folks. So I heard Vikas's story. So when you come from a traditional degree program, many a times you don't have the right skills that are needed in the specialized area. And that's where I'm seeing a trend more and more where people are going deeper in skilling themselves rather than just going through a regular traditional degree for their learning.
Okay. Rituparna Chakravarti, in a year that's, you know, been marred by this pandemic, we've seen the impact on the economy. What is the placement season looking like for you, and where do we stand? Where does the market stand on hiring confidence?
One size doesn't fit all, clearly, in terms of what's happening in the employment market right now. And I'd like to hence approach it according to different pockets. For example, the second wave has impacted the informal sector extremely, extremely badly. I think it is, it's quite visible. So I think it has also exposed that when you do not have any secured employment contracts, which means right to any kind of protection in, under certain circumstances, what happens. I think from that perspective, the informal sector is the one which has taken the brunt the most. Hmm. In the formal sector, obviously, corporate India has been much better prepared than the first wave. Having said that, I think what we have noticed is April, till about April, there has been some momentum in hiring. But I think from last half of April, May, June, I don't think pretty much hiring and onboarding has come to a standstill. There are exceptions. There are exceptions in sectors like e-commerce, e-grocers, healthcare, especially in terms of trying to get additional staff available for inoculation for the emergency COVID centers and so on and so forth. E-commerce, e-grocers, the digital, essentially the digital sector, whether it's e-education, I think these sectors are still hiring. However, I don't think the hiring is enough to compensate for the lack of activity on the part of the other sectors, whether it's consumer, whether it's BFSI, manufacturing. All of them are right now on a standby mode, which means even where there were hirings which had happened, joinings have been deferred or delayed till the lockdown scenario becomes clearer for people. Hmm. Technology has been one of the beneficiaries, clearly. I think technology sector has not at all been affected. As a matter of fact, their plans are and their hirings are on track. And I think they're probably the most well-prepared in terms of handling this. Hmm. But well, overall, overarching, Sarah, I don't, I mean, I think the next 2-3 months is going to be like this. There will be a subdued sentiment in terms of hiring.
All right. And I'm glad you mentioned the informal sector. I hope we'll get to go across to Jayati Ghosh, the economist, to expand on that. But I want to just ask you, so are you, you're saying the first next 2-3 months are going to be like this. Are you optimistic that once the overall situation improves, we get back on track? I'm trying to understand what the long-term effect of this is going to be. Is there a lost generation in all of this? Because, you know, studies have shown that salaries jump. Your jump starts in your salaries. They start to taper off by your late 30s, by your 40s, once you reach a certain level in an organization, right? So what you make in your first new jobs in your 20s, where you start, that will affect your savings and how and when you retire. Like Vikash, for example, he's been out of a job from his early 20s and he's 24.
There is a silver lining amongst all of this. And the silver lining is that unlike during the first wave, at least the formal sector employers, there has been no knee-jerk reaction, whether it's in terms of wage cuts, whether it's in terms of trying to lay off people. One of the reasons could be that they were already quite optimally staffed and they do not want to get themselves in a position where once the lockdown opens and maybe consumption improves and consumer sentiments improve, they are not able to take advantage of it. I think corporate India is prepared, but they cannot fight the odds of what COVID does. It's essentially, the lockdown is a reality, right? There is also exceedingly much higher number of panic. A lot of organizations, employees are deeply affected around because of the second wave, which has also put them in a back foot in many ways. But if I were to go back and ask corporate India, I think they are raring to go. So the moment there will be some signals and signs, I think I personally am optimistic that we will be able to creep back and you know, we may not be able to achieve overnight what happened or what used to happen, but I think we will make incremental progress in another couple of months. But a couple of things are very key. Vaccination is very key. Until and unless we vaccinate each and every nook and corner, I don't think we will be able to take advantage.
The longer we take to vaccinate, the longer we're going to drag this all out. Okay, I have some questions. I want to, before I get Namita Bhandari in and Jayati Ghosh, two questions from the audience for you both. Utkarsh Nigam, if you, what's your question? And Arshi Arora, just be on standby. Utkarsh?
Yeah, good evening. So my question is to ma'am. CMI's CAO has mentioned that while the informal sector will, you know, bounce back quickly, the formal sector will take an year's time to recover. And as you mentioned that returning to the pre-COVID era will depend on the vaccination, which according to government estimates will take an year's time. And considering I'm also an MBA student, so the question pertains to my profession that, I mean, considering the above situations, do you think that the current unemployment scenario will spill over to the next fiscal as well?
I can't promise that we will make a complete U-turn given what is happening right now. But I do believe that we will start making incremental progress. And organizations will start opening up bit by bit, and that would also open up opportunities. However, I think we also, I mean, you guys are all MBA students. I think at the moment, the advice is a job is better than no jobs, or rather, take up apprenticeship programs, internship programs, do projects for organization, make yourself available. Because at this point in your career, more than the compensatory gains, I think the learning, on-the-job learning is the most invaluable thing that you can invest in. And I'm more than confident that organizations are willing and will be willing to give out such opportunities. Is that what you aspired for? No, but I think you should aim to at least spend time learning and upgrading your skill set.
Make the best of the situation we are in. Arshi Arora, you have a question?
Yes. My question is, why is there so much disparity in unemployment numbers? I mean, Assam isn't that developed and has only 0.1% unemployment. Delhi, NCR, very developed in comparison, has 45.6. Neighboring state of Haryana has 29.1, despite the government, state government having a lot of funds. And the Punjab government doesn't have that many in comparison, but has 8.8, far better than the national average. So why is there that much?
Mayank Kumar?
Sure. I think, Arshi, this is essentially also in the composition of the economy in each of these states. If you look at the large metro sections where the entire real estate construction, the informal sector has taken an immediate sort of hit, a large population has suddenly gone out of employment. So what Ritupana mentioned earlier, that informal sector that has taken a massive hit is seeing much bigger impact in larger cities. But as what we are seeing right now, that the corporate India is looking at hiring, they are looking at vaccination opening up, field sales increasing, people coming back from tier 2, tier 3 cities back to tier 1 cities, we do expect with the right level of vaccination, a lot of jobs will also open up in metro cities and tier 1 cities, because there is currently what earlier we mentioned also, that look, the current situation is that while people are working in organization, they're working at 70% efficiency because 30% of your employees are in some way or other impacted by COVID. So there is also a requirement and need, which we believe once the economy starts opening up at the right vaccination level, the demand will start coming back across different sectors, across different geographies as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Mayank and Rituparna. I want to bring in Jayati Ghosh. We both, Rituparna and Mayank, both of you have talked about the effect on the informal sector. Jayati Ghosh is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Jayati, this the CMI study, one of the main takeaways of it has been that the informal sector jobs will come back quickly, but formal sector and better quality job opportunities will take up more than a year to return. That almost makes it seem like the impact has been less on the informal sector. Is that true? What is the reality? What has the impact been on the informal sector, rural unemployment?
So, in fact, you know, I think that would be a misreading of even the CMIE data. What the CMIE is basically saying is that you will get some jobs back because people have nothing else. I mean, they have no option but to try and do something. But they will possibly be at lower levels of income. That's what we saw after the first wave, that jobs came back, but they were often at half the nominal wage that was received earlier. And the self-employed got significantly lower than they had been getting earlier. So a job coming back doesn't mean a bounce back. Mm. A job coming back is because the option is starvation. So you will go out on the street shining shoes or selling bananas or doing whatever you can to try and make some money. You will make much less than you made before. So this is not a bounce back in the informal sector. I also just want to clarify, you know, there was a question just before about the unemployment rate. You know, the unemployment rate is not necessarily the best indicator, because what it measures is the people who are actively looking for work as a proportion of those who are working and those who are looking for work.
Hmm.
That's not, so a lot of people are discouraged workers. They have stopped looking because there isn't a job available. They know that they will not get jobs. So you, where do you go and look actively for work, if you see what I mean?
And maybe many of them include women, I can imagine. Let's get in Namita Bhandari over here. Namita, when we talk of job losses...
Just one quick point, I'll just quickly say that, you know, what you really should look at is the employment rate. And that's the one that is disastrous. That has fallen dramatically to only 35% of the working age population. It's the, one of the lowest we've ever seen in India.
And Namita, where do women stand in all of this? Somehow it just seems to get lost. When we talk of job losses and job recovery, is there a gender aspect involved?
100%. In fact, COVID's impact on gender, I mean, on one gender, has been disproportionate. So whether it is employment, and as you know, India's female labor force participation to start with, even pre-pandemic, was abysmal. Depending on who you spoke to, the figures ranged from 23% to, I believe, the World Bank in 2020 said it was 19.9%, which is amongst the lowest in the world. We are even lower than Saudi Arabia now in terms of female labor force participation. The point that Professor Ghosh just made about unemployment, you know, how many people are looking for jobs? If you look at some of the data that has come out in those looking for employment, the fact is that in absolute numbers, more men than women lost jobs because there's so few women in the workplace to start with.
Yeah.
But who's looking for jobs? There are fewer women. Women are being discouraged or are perhaps themselves discouraged from even looking for work. Even where MNREGA is concerned, you know, when there was the reverse migration happening, the MNREGA jobs went to men, which was jobs which traditionally kept for women. And then you have the disproportionate burden on ASHAs, 1 million ASHAs. We have 1 million ASHAs. We have 1.2 million Anganwadi workers and helpers who are not recognized as workers because they are volunteers. You know, they are the backbone of our nutritional, of our childcare scheme, of our maternal health schemes. And they are considered to be volunteers. They're not even considered employees. They're going out, they're working without proper protective gear. They've been, you know, stingy with their allowances. They were supposed to get, in some states, 2,000 rupees as an honorarium for the extra work that they were doing, unprotected. And they're not getting that. So I think when you look at women's employment, employment is a heartbreak story, but women's employment is absolutely devastating.
And I don't know if our policy makers, our planners are even factoring that. And it certainly is good. We're going to see this impact play out with probably a whole generation of working mothers affected because of this pandemic. I want to try and squeeze in. I know we're running out of time. I want to try and squeeze in Saurav Shukla, who joins us. Saurav is an MBA graduate, I'm told, and he's looking for a job. Saurav, aapki story kya hai? आप दो साल से नौकरी के लिए ढूंढ रहे हो आपके पास एमबीए डिग्री भी है मैंने सुना है आप और आप कह रहे हो कि आप कोई भी काम करने के लिए तैयार हो और कोई भी सैलरी पे सौरभ आप अनम्यूट कर सकते हो शायद आपने अनम्यूट नहीं किया है सौरभ कैन यू अनम्यूट आपने अनम्यूट की है ओके लेट मी सी इफ आई कैन ट्राई एंड गेट हिम बैक जायती टू यू देन व्हाट अकॉर्डिंग टू यू नीड्स टू बी डन
वेरी क्लियर व्हाट नीड्स टू बी डन द गवर्नमेंट हैज टू स्पेंड मोर इमीडिएटली टू रिवाइव एम्प्लॉयमेंट इट्स एब्सोल्युटली अपॉलिंग दैट इन अप्रैल गवर्नमेंट स्पेंडिंग एक्चुअली वेंट डाउन इट कोलैप्स्ड in a period when the pandemic was raging and when lockdowns were being imposed. So we've seen a major decline in employment because not only of the pandemic, but because the government has also stopped being a source of demand and employment. Namita mentioned how already large proportion of government workers are not really paid properly, given adequate wages. But in addition, aggregate spending of the government has a huge multiplier effect on the economy. When it contracts, that has a huge negative effect. And what we're seeing today is that even the existing employment scheme, the rural employment guarantee, that is actually massively underfunded. There are only four or five states that are not in a deficit in terms of what they have overspent and not got money from the central government. We need a massive expansion immediately in the money going to states for the employment guarantee so that they can at least provide a minimum cushion in the rural areas where the economy is in a shambles. We need an urban employment guarantee. Some states have already got blueprints. They've already got initial pilot schemes. We have to expand this because, you know, the idea that you have a little bit of corporate employment and that's fine, that's nonsensical. The big corporates, or even the small, corporate India does not provide employment for more than 8% of the workforce, including all the casual and contract labor. So you've got to think of other ways of employment. Through demand.
Thank you all. We try to touch upon this crisis and what it means going forward. I think we can all agree that, I think it was Rituparna who pointed out first, all of this also crucially depends on our vaccination rates. The longer it takes to vaccinate all of us, we're just going to drag this all out. But thank you all for joining us tonight on We the People. Bye-bye.